Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, yesterday, the OECD, that's the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, presented its latest economic survey for Ireland. In it, they said landlords should be allowed to reset rents between tenancies to prevent investors from leaving the market, while criticism was also levelled at the government for suggestions that tax breaks for developers might be necessary to boost supply. Well, for reaction to their report, I'm joined now by Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac. Thanks for having me on.
Now, in fairness, there was good praise generally for the state of the economy, but the OECD outlined major challenges for Ireland, the housing crisis being one, the impact on people and wider society and the economy. And they outlined that the housing crisis now is a major risk in terms of attracting foreign direct investment and talent into Ireland. And that's not a short-term fix, is it?
It is going to take further time to make the difference that we need to make to us, while acknowledging the impact that it has on our competitiveness, and I've done that before. I'm more concerned about the social and personal costs of those who can't get a home, those who can't afford their mortgage or their rent. And I'm acutely aware, Cormac, of the impact that that's having on people and their lives and their living standards.
And it's really
delaying. That's my main motivation in aiming to tackle this.
I do appreciate that. I'd love to know what amount of time it will take to rectify that, though, for people and for the economy as well. Because yesterday we heard from Accord that as many as 8 out of 10 people in Ireland believe the housing crisis is delaying marriages and delaying couples having children. It's not good.
Of course it's not good. And it's affirmed to me again and again in my work within my constituency in Dublin Central, in meeting people across the country, of the personal and social cost of this. Well, I can make the case that we are building more homes than we have in the past, though we didn't do as well last year as I expected and hoped we would do. I'm equally clear that for this year and in the years ahead, we have to do better and we must put the policies in place to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And the OECD report lays out some options with regard to that.
And when you say we have to do better, one of the ideas up for consideration, it seems, based on the last week or so, is a tax break for developers to increase supply. Now, the OECD warned in particular in this report against offering tax breaks to property developers because they pointed to the problems they created during the last property boom, the misallocation of housing or ghost estates, and it resulted in a significant fiscal loss as well, they said. So can we put the tax breaks for developers off the agenda, off the table?
So as much as I admire and value the work of the OECD, and I do, I don't need this report to be reminded of the social and economic costs that we had to bear in mind and we had to endure as a country when very broad tax breaks were in place in the past and what that did to our economy and the costs we still have from it. I make that point generally in regard to particular individual taxation decisions. As our Minister for Finance, I obviously will be in the middle of making them, and Cormac, you'll be aware that I can't and don't comment on decisions that might happen in the future because that has to happen on budget day.
I understand that, but you're not putting tax breaks.
Anything I say before then can have an impact on transactions that people make in the run-up to the budget.
But what I'm hearing is that they're still on the table, tax breaks for developers, because I read some of the OECD reports around this area. They said basically it had minimal impact when they were delivered and they didn't work in the past. So why are they still an option?
Well, there has been reporting in relation to us. That same reporting has made very clear that nothing has been agreed, that no decisions have been made, and all of this is part of the budgetary process. And as somebody who is at the heart of that budgetary process, along with Minister Chambers, my colleague, we shouldn't comment on those decisions until they are made.
But
what I'm aware of, Cormac, is all of the learnings that are there regarding the harm that was created by the broad use of these incentives in the past. And that will be uppermost in my mind in considering any future decisions.
I know, and that sounds like a very good answer to buy you time. But you know what your political opponents are saying here, that you may, if you go down this road, you may be acceding to developer lobbying which will result in increasing developer profits and a minimal, if anything, increase in supply. Why keep a bad idea on the table?
My answer isn't about buying time. My answer is about acknowledging, as Minister for Finance, if you're making taxation decisions, you shouldn't pre-announce them because it affects how people act today. And secondly, Dan, just giving you a sense of my general view on these issues, which is while we do have things in place that I do believe make a difference and are positive from a tax perspective, of course, I am well aware of all the learnings we had ourselves as a society and as an economy regarding the impact of these broad measures in the past. And I have made that point in recent years, and I'll be keeping it in mind again when I go to make decisions on budget day.
Are you of a mind as Minister for Finance in terms of the rental market to change the rent pressure zone system that we have?
I'm of a mind to have a look at the evidence in relation to us and to evaluate it through two different ways. The first one, Cormac, is the implementation of rent caps and rent pressure zones do play a valuable role in mitigating what could otherwise be very large rent increases and causing further difficulty to tenants. And I know that. I see the role they play in the communities that I represent. The second thing we have to look at the evidence on as well is that in order to have a rental sector that is bigger than it is today, it's too small at the moment, we need to build more rental accommodation and more, have more savings in place and funds in place that will build that rental accommodation. And we saw last year a sharp decline in new apartment construction, and we have to look at whether policies that we have in place are making that happen.
So it's up for consideration then.
And we have to do that carefully.
Okay, so it's up for consideration to change the rent pressure zone. So what would you say to tenants who might be listening to you right now, who might fear that if you change the rent pressure zone system, that you can't give them a guarantee that they won't be made homeless? That's a fact, isn't it?
I'd ask them to listen back to the answer that I gave to your question a moment ago. The programme for government has indicated that it should be reviewed. They have to be reviewed anyway because they come to an end later on in the year. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I said to you in your earlier question to me is, of course, I'm very conscious of the impact that those policies have at the moment in helping tenants.
But you can't give them a guarantee.
Well aware of that.
Isn't that correct? I mean, the rent pressure zone gives a guarantee to some degree that they won't be made homeless. You can't give a guarantee that under a chain system that won't be the case.
Well, I can give a guarantee that if there is a change system in place, and we're not saying there will be, we would still have as a key priority, how can we protect tenants and what can we do to ensure that rental accommodation, the rental homes that they have at the moment, that have a fair chance of and a good chance of continuing to have in the future.
A fair chance.
There's another group of people. I'm very conscious of, is those who want rental accommodation and can't get it at the moment. And in order to meet their needs, we have to have more rental accommodation built. And we have to look at what are the policies that will put it in place.
Okay.
But just to emphasise what I said twice in the interview, and I want to say it for a third time again, that I'm deeply aware of the issues that current renters have at the moment and of our desire to give them as much protection and security as is possible. That's what the current scheme aims to do. But we saw a really sharp decrease in new apartment construction there last year. And the government has to consider that.
Can I move on and ask you about another current crisis, and that's the waste of taxpayers' money. And the Taoiseach, Taoiseach just spoke about this morning. €7 million spent in the Arts Council on an IT system they never got. And Simon Harris said the department was trying to get on top of the issue. Now, isn't that the problem, really? We have yet another example where there was inadequate safeguards against the waste of taxpayers' money.
It's not acceptable what has happened with regards to the Arts Council. The Arts Council does very, very good work, has played a very valuable role in supporting our artists in Ireland and across the world. But what has happened with regard to this particular IT scheme is not acceptable to the government. It's one thing a scheme costing more than we expected. It's an entirely other matter than a scheme, an IT scheme, not actually then happening and the cost of it going up.
But you know, Minister, with all due respect, when you say...
Aware of this, sorry, you asked me a question about the role of the government, and I'll be dead quick in answering it. But Minister Patrick O'Donovan became aware of it. He quickly brought a report to Cabinet that he shared with us on Tuesday and outlined the steps that the government will take with regard to it.
When you say it's not acceptable to the government, I could bring you back and play you interviews of ministers from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil during the bike shelter controversy, when €330,000, the cost of a house almost, was spent on a bike shelter outside the Dáil. And ministers saying it wasn't acceptable then, that the €1.4 million Department of Finance hut, that kind of expenditure wasn't acceptable then. Now we have this €7 million or so on an IT system the Arts Council never got. You could say that right up to the Children's Hospital waste of taxpayers' money. I mean, when are we going to get adequate safeguards to make sure that our money won't be wasted?
But the country's money, in nearly every way it's spent, is not wasted. You've made, and you're correct, to point out examples of where it did not happen in the way it should have. I could equally point to many other larger projects that have been delivered in
that
the way
that doesn't make the waste good, though.
Oh, I never said that. I never suggested that it does. But I think it's appropriate to put a debate on matters that I don't accept to be good use of our country's money in the context of where the country's money is also spent well. In the vote out of the National Broadband Plan, on time, under budget, in our new school buildings that happen across the length and breadth of our country, in new social housing that's built to the highest standard by our local authorities, in infrastructure that has happened in terms of new roads projects.
Mm-hmm.
And let me be clear in saying the issues that you're raising are not acceptable. In each case, we've looked at what we can learn and what we can do better with regard to them. But there are many, many other examples of your listeners' money being spent in the way they want and in the way
and
we need to
do good
more
use. Okay, so need a balanced perspective is what you're saying. Can I ask you two final brief questions? And this is in relation to Senator Martin Conway, who's resigned from Fine Gael. Now, Fine Gael knew of inappropriate behaviour in relation to a female in 2020, I believe. Yet he was a Fine Gael candidate in the Seanad election recently. Why?
So we believed, and the Tánaiste has now answered questions about this yesterday with the media and dealt with this matter in the Dáil today. We believed at that point in time that the matter had been dealt with, but we're very clear in saying that there are behaviours of the highest standard are required within our party, and that's now why we will have a disciplinary process in relation to all matters here for Senator Conway.
But dealt with is one thing. But the Simon Harris said that it was inappropriate that Senator Martin Conway remain in Fine Gael after the election. So if it's inappropriate that he remained in Fine Gael, and the facts haven't changed, it seems, why was it appropriate that he was a Fine Gael candidate for the election?
Because at that point then, and I have to be very careful here about this, Cormac, because there's somebody else, somebody who's been very badly affected by the behaviour at the heart of this. And I have to respect that person's privacy.
And I don't want to talk about that person at all. But the question remains.
No, but they are there, and they're certainly on my mind in terms of how I comment about the issue. And thank you for acknowledging that. As I said, at that point in time, a process was in place in relation to it, but the recent and that behaviour of Senator Conway is not acceptable to our party and will be dealt with by our party.
Okay, and my final question is, why was €10,000 paid?
Because at that point in time, this was part of how we felt issues had been dealt with. But as I said again, Martin, as I said again in relation to Senator Conway, this and everything else in relation to it now has to be reassessed by our party.
Okay, so you thought the €10,000 you thought the €10,000 was paid and that the matter was settled is what I'm hearing from you.
Well, I'm just going to be, again, have to respect the fact that there is another party involved in this, and all of these matters will be considered by the party because we have to look at standards of behaviour within our party, and when they fall below what we want to see happen, it needs to be dealt with.
Finally on this, should the Taoiseach, and he's been called in the Dáil to make a statement on this as to what the party knew and when, and when what Simon Harris knew and when, because the monies have been paid by a party or a public representative after an incident involving inappropriate behaviour. It requires full transparency, doesn't it? It's a matter of public importance. Should Simon Harris make a statement on this in the Dáil?
I was sitting beside him in the Dáil earlier on today when he made statements in relation to us on questions and promised legislation. So he answered questions about it yesterday from the media, and he answered questions on it in the Dáil here this morning when one was put to him in our Dáil hearings.
OK, Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue of Fine Gael, thank you very much.